Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. Today, another very special episode. I always say this because it's the truth, right? Why would I record it if it wasn't special? So we have Martina. I will ask her to pronounce her last name. I already told her I was going to do that. And we're going to talk about Martina and her team, I suppose. We'll see. I don't know. And we're going to talk about the management software Lemon Twist, right? So this is one of the reasons why I invited Martina, because I thought it was interesting to have a system, a management system that is dedicated to freelance translators, from what I understood, right? So We're going to see how this whole happened and who is behind this project and all of that. But before that, just to hear a little bit about Martina, like, please pronounce your full name, because it will sound so much better if you say it. And just let me know how you got into this language thing. Was it a family affair already? Your family was into languages? Someone already was translating? How did you get into all of these things that you do today? And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me, Rita. My name is Martina Abbagnale. It is very nice that you asked me how to pronounce it, because I don't live in Italy and my name has been butchered for the past 10 years because nobody
knows
how to pronounce it. There's also this thing that there's the famous criminal guy in the US, Frank Abagnale. They made a movie out of him. He was a con artist. So people recognize the name, but they recognize the American pronunciation. And it's also not very nice when people look at you and like, oh, you're Italian, like the criminal, right? It's like, yeah.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah.
Like it's your fault or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So my name is Martina Bagnale. I have been a freelance translator for 6 years. And it's funny that you ask whether somebody in my family has been a translator or something, because I come from a very small village in the south of Italy, and even the idea of speaking a foreign language there is kind of like weird. People don't really travel. It is, you know, it's just like a rural area. People just live, are born there, they stay there, they die there, they just know what's around there. So the idea of just going out of the village and learning a new languages and new culture is not really something that, you know, gets taught to you when you're young. And I always felt that the place was a bit too small for me. So when I was 16, I went abroad for a year. I studied in Hungary, and I arrived there. I could not speak English. Of course, I could not speak Hungarian, but I somehow had to survive for a year. So that was the crash course of, you know, you better learn a language if you want to survive. So that's what I did. I learned English.
Okay.
In a year. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of nice, like helping people understand what's going on. And that's when I realized that I wanted to be a translator.
Wow. So you went to college and studied that, or what happened?
Yeah. So after that, I actually tried to get into translation school once, and, you know, it was like a closed number. And of course, when you're 18, you just think that you can conquer the world. So I took the test without having a plan B, and then I did not get in. And not even like by a couple of seats, like there were 80 seats and I was number 300. So I was like,
okay.
Yeah, it was like a cold shower. And I had no plans, so I had to figure out something to do for a year. I came to the Netherlands to work as an au pair. And that is when I met my husband, who is now, you know, the co-founder of Lemon Twist. And that is also the reason why now I live in the Netherlands. We got together. I went back to Italy to study translation because, you know, second year I studied a bit harder. I got in. And when I was done with my studies, I came back to the Netherlands.
Okay, so now it's a family affair. It wasn't before.
Yeah,
but
it is a family affair, yes.
Right. So when you started, what was the plan, right? You started working as a freelance translator. Did you work in companies before that? Did you do like an internship, or did you go straight into freelancing?
No, I did not go straight to freelancing. I So at the university, I was quite aware that, they were teaching us the art of translating, but not really in the business part. And I started reading, the books from Corinne McKay, and I was listening to Tess Sweeney podcast because back then, like, it used to be like a very popular podcast. And I realized that, there's all this other part that you need to know how to do. And I was quite scared of doing it myself. So I, as a compromise, I got myself a job as a project manager at a translation agency because I figured, they need to teach you all this stuff to work for them. So, like, they were paying me for me to learn how to be a translator.
It is from a different perspective, but it's, I mean, I've also been a project manager in two different companies, so.
Yeah, it is a different perspective, but like, you get to learn, how to talk to clients, how to create a quote. Translators tell you what their problems are, so you also like know how it is to work from their for their perspective. So I did that for a year and a half, and then I figured that I knew enough to try it for myself. And that was 6 years ago when I started working as a freelance translator.
So did you have like a specialization? Were you focused on something? Was it pretty generic and then you focused eventually a bit later?
When I was at the agency, I was working at the legal desk. So me and other colleague, we would take care of all the legal translations, and I convinced them to let me do reviews so that I could learn how to do that. So when I started freelancing, I started focusing on legal stuff because that's what I knew what to do. But actually, my passion is finance. So took me some time to find enough clients that, handle financial documents, but this is what I do right now. So, investments, banking, that kind of thing, fintech companies.
Yeah, I hear you. I also like that kind of thing, strangely enough. I like very dry types of texts, so I get it. It's not the creative type and all of that necessarily. Once in a while, but usually that's not what I do. So then, what happened? How did this project come about? Right. So, and why is your husband your co-founder? Right. Does he have anything to do with translation? Is he an engineer? What happened there?
Yeah, so 6 years ago, you might remember, it was COVID time. So everybody was stuck at home. And I had just started working as a freelance translator, and I had to figure out a way of managing, all of the work that I was getting. And right next to me, there was my husband that would who works as a project, not a project, sorry, as a software developer. And you would hear me complain about, oh, Excel doesn't really work. I have to type everything in. And I started trying different options that were out there, and nothing was like quite good enough. And I was constantly annoyed at how, nobody had thought about making something that like it's easy and it works well enough for a translator. And it just gave up at a certain point. And I was like, I don't want to hear you complain all the time. Let me just build you something that works. So that is where the idea came from. And we started working on it back then, but since he had a full-time job, it was very difficult, to do your work and then come back home and go and build something else. But then last year, he had taken a sabbatical, and then it was time for him to get back to work and find something. But I'm pretty sure that freelancers can appreciate the fact that after you have left an office and you have the freedom of doing what you can do, it's very difficult to go back to an office. So we thought, let's give it a shot. Let's see if this works. The idea was there. I really wanted to do it. He wanted to try and build something from scratch. So this is basically why we started.
Wow. So then what was the process, right? He had already started something years ago and he picked up where he left, or he just went back to the drawing board and started everything from scratch? What kind of feedback did you give him? How did that go? How was the
Oh
process?
yeah, okay. I mean, it's great that you're asking because I had no idea how difficult this was gonna be. I really thought that I would tell him like, make me a system that works for me. Like, you know how I work. I've told you things. Just make me something. And that is really not how you create a product. Like, you have to, of course, you start from the big picture, but then you have to go back to, okay, what is the very first thing that you need to know? And tell me exactly which buttons you need and where they have to be and how big they have to be and what do you have to write on them. So this has basically just been a process of me learning how to create a product because I didn't know how it works, and I thought it was going to be way easier, I must say. So we started with what are like the very basic function that I need. Like if nothing else works, what is the one thing that I think, oh, at least I have this. And what I really need, of course, is a place to store all of my projects, like, you know, the name of the project, with the price, with the rate, the information of the client. So that's what we started creating. And then, well, I mean, now, of course, we're adding more and more functions, like extra things, e-invoicing, time tracking, those kind of things. But it's still the same process. Like, you know, you come up with what's the core function of this thing, and then how do we make it work?
Since you were a project manager, did you like mimic the system that they had in the companies where you work, or is it a completely different thing because it's obviously from a different perspective? Did you have that as an inspiration, like those Plunets and the generic
Oh
or
yeah.
wildly adopted TMSs that people use in the industry?
I basically from all of those, I took what I absolutely hate of all of those systems, and that is that you have to click so much. Like for anything that you need to do, you have to do 10,000 clicks. And I was like, you know, most of the times, like our workflow is quite streamlined. Like if you have a project that you're working on, 90% of the time, you just deliver that project. Like, so you basically just need a button that says complete. And that's what used to bother me a lot. Like, I feel like everything out there just has all of these options, but then like they don't really prioritize the most likely one. So of course, you know, a project can be on hold and canceled and delayed and all these things. And of course, our tool can do that as well. But we also believe that if most of the time you're just delivering a project, you just need a big button that says this thing has been delivered. So this is pretty much like our raison d'être, I would say. We also have a mantra, which is every click counts. So whenever we're working on something, we're trying to basically make it in such a way that it requires as few clicks as possible. Because your job is not clicking around in our tool, your job is being a translator. So this thing should just take like very little time.
Okay, so does it integrate with something that your clients already use? Do you receive the files in whatever format you'll tell me, and then you just upload them there? So is that an integration? Is it independent? It sits on your desktop and has nothing to do with anything else that you might use. It integrates with your CAD tool. What's the story there from a technical point of view?
Yeah, well, nowadays this thing is called a web app, which is just a fancy word for a website. So it is in the cloud, you log in, it is just a tab in your browser, and it is basically a better version of an Excel sheet. You just have like a beautiful design, a dashboard that shows everything that you need,
A dog that's there to
a
help you, I
dog, of
suppose.
course, because you know, why not? And like the idea is that it's not integrated with anything, mostly because, you know, if you start offering one integration, then you have to cater to all of the things that are out there. And, you know, that would be a full-time job for 100 people. And there's just two of us. But what you can do is that you can just like type in all of the information. There's no, you know, first you have to go to one page and create this thing, and then you go back. It's just like one page, you type everything, and then you can save all the stuff that you've typed. So, new client, you type it in, and it creates a whole new page for you. For the client information. Well, of course, another important part of managing your work is creating invoicing. So we also have that. You can create PDF invoices, but also UBL, which is the e-invoicing format that we are gonna start using in Europe. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So when you last year, I suppose, there was a point where you both felt, okay, this is ready to go. Right? So what happened then? You
Oof,
had it
yeah.
ready in your eyes, and what did you do with it?
So there was a point in time last year when my husband, who has been working as a software developer for 15 years, he was like, oh, this thing is ready. And I was like, oh, this thing is so not ready. We have like another 6 months to work. Like, there's no way I am not showing the world this. And he was like, you know, this thing is never going to be ready. And until you show it to people, they cannot use it and break it in ways that you did not think that this thing can break. And I was like, oh, that's not possible. Like, you know, clearly, if you make it good enough, people are going to see it, love it, know how to use it, and there's not going to be a problem. So the in between was opening it for beta testers. So
Exactly.
we started working on it, and then we had like a call for beta testers, and like about 100 people signed up to try it, and then we slowly invited people to sign up, and indeed, like somebody spent 5 minutes on it and was like, "Oh, you're really missing a big red button here." And I was like, how did I not see that there was a big red button missing? Like, I've been using this thing for 6 months. So that was very interesting seeing how other people use it and like making it better thanks to the feedback of all these people. And then still, I felt like we could have worked on this for much longer before putting it out in the market. And this very sage person I am married to was like, you just have to put it out there, and then people are gonna try it, and they're gonna use it. And if it's not ready yet, they're not gonna use it, and then we keep on working on it. So that's pretty much how it went. I put it out there, and people started using it, and I was shocked. I was like, oh, he was right. We should have done this. And then of course we keep on working on it. So now, we have customers that ask us things, we have testers that ask us things, and we have ideas of things to add. But I really don't see it as like a finished product. It's just like it's a living thing that is still, growing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's exactly how we need to look at things these days, especially, right? So when you put it out there, what were the first wave of clients that you had? Is it seasoned freelancers? Is it translators only? Does it have something extra for other types of language work? Who needs it and who uses it?
Yeah, we started with translators or just like language professionals because those are people I know, and I thought that it was going to be easier to talk to them because I use it as a language professional, so I know what to expect and I know how to talk about it. But actually, I think this is a product that like freelancers in general that work on projects can use. Funny enough, we have a couple of copywriters, which I didn't know were copywriters until they told me. So I just talked to them thinking that they were translators, but they do like other kind of projects. And then in terms of like how experienced these people are, it is pretty much people that are serious about like working as a translator. So like not people that just want to give it a go because otherwise you would not pay for like a tool. But there are also people that are still looking for a solution that works for them. So maybe not like a 20-year-old, like not somebody with 20 years of experience because they have their huge Excel sheet that they love and they're never going to give up on that. But it's more like middle of the way, like serious enough, but like not like still new enough, let's say, that they're still like trying to figure out the tools that they want to use.
So we, in the end, we were starting to discuss if we're going to have a demo or not. So what's the final verdict?
Yeah, I was thinking if this is a podcast, how like I think it would be quite boring if I just
There's
kept this
video. Don't
around.
worry about
Yeah.
it. Like
Yeah,
most people will watch the video, so it's okay.
okay,
We have
yeah.
a demo, or we can leave it until the end, or you can give me something afterwards for me to add somewhere if you think that it's not interesting for people to just hear you
Okay, well, I
talking about
mean,
how it goes.
have you seen how it looks?
I actually signed up yesterday, last night, to see
Okay.
what the story is, but I obviously have not used it, right? But I have to say, I'm not a really good example because it's not like I work with lots of clients or anything like that, right? Because I do other things. But it's true that I'm definitely willing to give it a go. Besides, you have a 30-day free trial, right?
Yes.
And also the price point, I'm wondering how you got to it because without the code, so I used the code last night, right? It will come to about, I don't know, 120 euros or 130 per year. So how did you come up with this price point? Was it based on other similar tools, if there are any, or what was your idea?
Yeah, there were a lot of things that went into the pricing. I mean, of course, first of all, we have costs to run this because, you need servers and we have to work on it. So we're trying to think like, if we have a certain amount of clients and we are working full time to make this work. How much money we need to make so that we can sustain this? Then of course we also looked at what's out there, what like the subscriptions are for other systems, and we try to keep it affordable. So like I really don't think we're gonna become rich out of like having Lemon Twist. So like it was a balance of, you know, the cost we're gonna have, wanting to be able to actually do this as a job, and also keeping it affordable. And one thing that we really did not want to do was having like those tiered systems. So, you know, you if you have 10 clients, you pay this much, and if you have 20 clients, you pay this much, because this is something that is supposed to like help you grow your business, and you should not be afraid of having one extra client, otherwise you're going to start paying more. So we also thought, what's a fair price so that you can use this as much as you want for all the time that you need, and also without needing to raise the price every single year.
It totally makes sense. So how many users do you estimate that you have? So people who have subscribed, right? What they do with it, you cannot control, I suppose. But like at this point, because it's fairly new, right? So how many people do you think, or I mean, do you think you, I'm sure you know the numbers. How many people are actually using the system?
Yeah, I tried answering that question once, and my co-founder stopped me because he said that that is sensitive information that I'm not allowed to disclose. But
It
he
makes
told me
sense.
that I can say that we have clients in six or seven different countries in Europe. So our clients are mostly European because, once again, that's the market that I know. So we try to create something that really works for them. And it is actually very nice to see that, you know, all these people in all these different countries with their different ways of, you know, having to file taxes and stuff, they can all find Lemon Twist useful.
So I'm not thinking about the whole demo thing, and I would ask you to actually do a demo yourself, record it, or we can record it together, whatever you want. And then I will do it as a part two of the podcast, and we'll only place it in the I'm announcing it, right? So we will only place it on YouTube so that people can actually see it. And also let me know if you have other videos around where you already have demos. I don't know if that's the way you operate. I'm a pretty video-oriented person. I do everything in video. So if you have those, we can also add here so that we are not going to make people who are listening very bored
Yes,
by
listen to
saying
and have a
click
clicking
here, click
here.
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
Yeah. So
I will ask.
we
Sorry,
currently
sorry. I
have
Go ahead, go ahead.
a video on our website. But that is literally just like how to get started. So it is more of, you know, you have gotten your account and you have to figure out how to set it up. So free to watch it. If you think it's boring, I agree with you. But you know, setting up a new account is always boring. But we are thinking about creating like a, you know, kind of like how do I use Lemon Twist in a day? So I think it would be nice if we can do that together.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So sounds good to me, right? Because I'm going to go through the experience myself, right? So to see what the story is and if I can find it super easy to log in, is it like a matter of, like you say, every click counts? I like that. I was just watching a series called The Bear, where they have the sentence "every minute counts" written everywhere. So you
Oh,
just
yes.
reminded me of that. Right. So, and I understand what that means, like the sense of urgency of you focusing so much on what you have to do that you make every single detail count. Right. So, what kind of expansion plans do you have for the near future? Right. Knowing everything that's happening, anything to do with AI. Sorry, I have to mention it. It's just how it goes these days. Any integration plans? And I know it's complicated because sometimes you need orchestrators and all that. So I've been hearing a lot about all of that. So since this is a software, right? Since this is a tool, what are the plans for the near future?
Yeah, so I don't think that we are gonna add any AI, because I think that if you are inserting your data, you wanna be 100% sure that it's secure. Also, this is literally a system where you have to insert the work that you're doing, and an AI does not know the work you have to do. You know the work that you have to do. So like I do not see how an AI can help you there. What we are really working on is this e-invoicing regulation that is coming in Europe. So it is going to be in different points in time for different countries, and some countries are starting as soon as in 2 months. So basically, Europe has decided that instead of just sending a PDF invoice from insert time, we have to send an e-invoice, which is a different thing. So it cannot be a PDF anymore. It is, it's called differently in different countries, but the main idea is that it's written in such a way that a computer can read the text instead of a person, and multiple parties can access that invoice. And it's basically like the reason why they're doing it is basically to battle, I don't know, fraud.
Broad, I
Yeah.
suppose.
So that is not really good news for small business owners because it means that you have extra costs because you have to find a system that can handle these things. The first country, one of the first countries that are going to use e-invoicing is Belgium, and Belgium has made it extremely complicated to do this because not only you have to create an e-invoice, but you have to send it through a specific system called Peppol. We looked into it. It would cost us 10,000 euros to be able to offer that per year, so we're not there yet. But basically, that is like the very big thing that we're working on right now, like figuring out how to make this possible at an affordable price in 27 flavors, because as I said, every single country is doing it differently.
Wow, that is scary. Oh, I haven't read about it, but I guess I have to. Well, thanks for letting me know. So, what would you say that was the, now that you're a user, right? An active user of your own system. You already had something custom made for you, but now you're using, I suppose, the general population, the same one as anyone would, right? Any user. So what would you say is like the, I know you're kind of the a user and the an owner and the mastermind behind it and all that. So I understand it's not so easy to answer as it would be for me as a simple user. But now that you have been using it, let's say this version for a year or so, how do you feel that it has, let's say, optimized your workflow? Let's call it that,
Oh,
right?
yeah. So I personally work with a lot of private individuals because I'm a sworn translator here in the Netherlands. And every single time I work with a new person, of course, I have to send them an invoice. And back in the day, I had to spend a lot of time setting up this new client before I could send an invoice. And that's one of the things that Lemon Twist does very quickly. You can create a whole new project with a whole new client, with a whole new rate, with everything from one page. So that makes it extremely fast and easy to do. And another thing that I'm very, very proud of is our tax report. So it tells you exactly how much VAT you have to pay, but it also divides you in the categories that you normally that you need to fill in the report. So it doesn't just tell you this is how much tax you owe, but it's also like here is how much it's VAT, and pretty sure it's the same in you're based in Portugal, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in Portugal, you also have to fill the extra reverse charge report when you work with clients from another country. At least here in the Netherlands, it's like that. So we also have the specific part where it tells you exactly how which client you worked, what's their VAT number, so that you click on that and you can fill your tax report literally in 5 minutes. I have measured myself, it takes me 5 minutes. It used to take me an hour trying to find all of the information in my messy spreadsheet.
So you have done this, right? Like you time yourself doing something your regular way, and then you do it again using Lemon Twist. But I have to ask, why is it called Lemon Twist? I care about these things, right? I care about words. So why did you call
Okay.
it Lemon Twist? And why is there a dog specifically there? It's because you
Why
have a
is it
dog,
called
probably.
Lemon Twist? This is embarrassing because as a translator, my translation company is called Picobello Translation, and it has a beautiful story behind it. Because
Oh.
Picobello is like a fake Italian word that Dutch people use. They think it means excellent, but we don't have it in Italian. Like it doesn't exist. So it's
Is
like
it like
very
al
nice.
fresco that means something and people think it means something else?
Exactly. Yeah. So it is very nice where I get to tell this story because you can really see how I've thought about all of this when I came up with Picobello Translation. with lemon twist. It is just a name that we came up with 6 years ago, and it kind of stuck, and we like it. So that's why it's called lemon twist.
Oh, I thought it was because, me and thinking about these things, I was like, oh, lemon twist. I'm sure it was because it was a bitter situation that you twisted around and you made it much sweeter.
Write it down so I can give that answer next time.
That fake answer, right?
Yeah. Well,
This would
because,
be pretty literal, right? This is a literal explanation.
yeah. So because since as a translator, I have a lemon in my logo. I was like, okay, this is kind of like a spin-off of my translation company. So it's like, the same but different. So with a twist and lemon. So we started calling it
Is it
lemon
because of
twist.
the part of Italy that you come from? Because in languages, people call it Sicilian lemon or something like that, right? Or something lemon that specifically is
So
the style that you have in Italy.
yeah, for me, lemons is a very like Italian thing. And maybe it isn't for other people, but for me it's like the most
For me, not at all, because we have them like. Okay, well then my theory is not really true. Okay, it's been great to get to know you and your project. And in the end, we didn't talk. Oh, let's do it. Let's talk about your Picobello, right? Because you created that company too. So you have two separate businesses, let's say that. Or is a Lemon Twist a part of Picobello? No, you consider them totally
No,
separate
they're two different
projects.
companies. Yeah, because Lemon Twist also had like a co-founder, that's my husband, but he does not work with me when I translate, so we just have two separate companies.
And in that other business, so you specialize in financial stuff, reports, and all sorts of things. And you said you're like sworn
A sworn
translator.
translator.
So I guess that is something that is different everywhere, right? So countries have completely different status for translation. In Portugal, is very like the translator himself is not certified, right? Only the translation can
Mission
be
can be
certified,
certified. Yeah.
right? So that's the story. So what's the basis of that company, and why aren't you just a freelancer and you decided to actually have a company with an identity, with a name, and all of that?
Well, first of all, because here in the Netherlands is extremely easy. Like, there's no difference between a company and a freelancer. So you have to sign up with a name. And I thought, why limit to my name? First of all, it's difficult to pronounce for Dutch clients. So I came up with something that was easier for them, recognizable. It's
A
called
word they
Picobello.
already know,
Something
right?
they
Even
already
if they
know
don't
exactly.
know
So like a Dutch
that
person
it's fake.
would see Picobello and they immediately would think, oh, Italy. So that's why I called it like that. And then I also think, we are like a freelancer is a professional. So like you should have like a whole identity. It cannot just be you. It has to be something bigger. So, and also, it is just so much easier to give a professional image of yourself to people if you have a structured image to give. That's why I have a logo and brand colors and all these things because it just makes life easier, I think.
And then in that company, you only offer language projects into Italian, or do you work with other professionals to actually come up with other possibilities of language pairs and all that? Or is it only into Italian and
I
it's only
mean,
yourself?
it is mainly into Italian since I was a project manager. Sometimes I also handle like multiple languages, but that it's mostly like a client that already came to me for Italian all of a sudden needs something else. I do not actively search for multilingual projects because like I don't like doing project management that much, especially now that I have to do project management on this huge thing.
Very good. Okay, and now I guess we know the full story, right?
Yeah, we do know the first story, yes.
Thank you so much for Martina. It's been great. I thought that it was a completely different story, to be honest.
And that's why you need to talk to people,
See,
right?
well, it's like I make things up in my own mind. So it's like, because it's like I know lots of people with very different paths, right? So for me, it's easy to go off and imagine all sorts of different things. This is why it's necessary and interesting and important to talk to people. Martina told me that she used to have a podcast with other friends. So she's an experienced podcaster, unlike the vast majority of my guests who usually have never been a guest in a podcast. So Martina is an experienced media personality. And so, thank you so much for being here. We will add somehow information about Lemon Twist, a demo, a link to your website, and all of those things, your logos. You know, I like adding all these elements to the graphics because I think it makes it more personal to you, right? Because, like I always say, this is our episode because I cannot do it by myself, and it wouldn't be interesting if I did it by myself. So, that's the idea. Thank you so much for being here. It was great to meet you. Good luck with all your projects, more software, more translation coming your way, I'm sure. And I'm going to, you know, keep tabs on you and keep on watching and checking. And now that I'm going to be experimenting with the system myself, I might have a few questions, or we will see how that's gonna go. Thank you so
Yes,
much for
thank
this,
you.
and we will see you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you for the invite. See you next
Of
time.
course. See you. Bye.
Bye.